Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of The Greatest Show on Tuesday nights. Married Men Don't Talk, brought to you by the Household Stress Team with the top seven book and our top seven own bestseller written author of Married Men Don't Talk, Tony Hawkins. If you have not got the book yet, you need to go to our website right now and order. You can go to www.householdstress.com, or you can also go to our Facebook page, and we're also on Twitter. So go and check it out, and I guarantee you it's going to change your life, change somebody's life. Give it to your wife, give it to your friends, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, whatever it is, and you'll be truly blessed. With that said, you only got a few rules. No cursing. Respect others' thoughts. And it's okay to agree to disagree. With that being said, our topic tonight, separation anxiety. That's right, I said it. Separation anxiety. You can put it any way you want. Separation from marriage, job, family. Let's talk about it. Let's see why it's important. It's in the news. It's causing death. It's causing murder. It's causing really disrespect. We need to make sure that we stop this in the future. I'm going to start off like this. You know, marriage problems can sometimes seem daunting, and leave us with feeling lost. If you felt that way, it is important to remember that, like anything else worth fighting for, saving a marriage takes work and a lot of creative thinking. Knowing if one spouse wants to separate and the other doesn't can all be a loss. Or is it? My first question to you is, when it's time to separate, is it a loss?
It depends. Depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, break it down.
I mean, if it's a loss, if you wanted it to work, or in that way it'd be a loss. But some may see it as a gain. They're getting away from the drama or getting away from the madness. So I just think it depends. All depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think sometimes you need, it's horrible to say, sometimes you need separation so people can realize what they had. So maybe the next time they come back, they'll be more responsible with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your definition of separation? Is that just removing yourself from them? What's your definition of separation?
My definition of separation is, on your way to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine. If you got to separate, you need to be apart.
And you could still be, physically there, but, mentally you're not engaged in a relationship, if you're on your way to, divorce.
Well, as always, I had to go to dictionary.com. And, I want to give you the true definition of separate. To keep apart or divide, as by an intervening barrier or space, to separate two fields by a fence, to put, bring, or force apart, to separate two fighting boys. And here's another one, to set apart. Disconnect, disassociate. You separate church and state. We've talked about all these things. To remove or certain. It's so many different definitions for separate. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's just the verb used with an object. There's more definitions when you don't use it without an object. But to draw or to come apart, that has to put a stress on somebody. It has to. when it's time that you just say, hey, you walk up to your wife and say, you know what? This is not working. I want out. Is it time to separate when health or body issues become a problem?
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that? Well, we're not the same at the beginning of our marriage where we're healthy, we got the six-pack going on. You know, your wife has that model body that, you know, on cover of 17 magazine body or Jet, you know, page 43 body anymore. And I had a couple of kids. You know, now is you know, fibroids are happening. Breast cancer is happening. Your wife may have alter her body parts. An accident could have happened where she got hit by a car and lost a limb.
Yeah, I would say if you want to separate it, you know, doing some of that, that's pretty shallow.
Well, based off our definitions, you know, to keep apart a divide, those barriers, that's a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that same person anymore because the visual is not there.
So what's going to achieve separation when you come back to the same person?
Right, exactly. That's what I say.
When you come back, but hey, they can't fulfill your needs anymore. Because of their body and health issues. Is that a means for separation?
No. I mean, it's... You got to, I mean, that's, as your vow said, I mean, sickness and in health, you know, it's not just health. It's not what the vows say.
Well, a lot of us don't think that way. What
Which
can you
true.
Do? You know, it's what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm. And that therein lies the problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe, let me put it this way. To separate when bad memories begin to wipe away the good memories, is that a time to separate? When the memories aren't there, where you, let's just put it this way, have fallen out of love with your wife.
Yeah, when the bad outweighs the good, you know, I think that's really a problem. Because I think if you were to actually, you know, really think about it, I find that a rarity where the bad outweighs the good. I may be wrong, but when you actually look at it, and you know, maybe even write it down, you know, it's really not as bad as you seem. Now, some stuff may be more glaring, you know, than other issues. But, you know, bottom line, when you put it in perspective, you know, the good, most of the time, 9 out of 10 times outweighs the bad stuff. So, I mean, that's all about perspective. You know, it's like the whole glass half full, glass half empty type mentality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but here it is. Here it is again. You just said, you know, went back and said what our vows were, right? From sickness and health.
Yep.
Good times, bad times.
Yep.
There's going to be bad times, and I can't believe anybody on this phone sometimes haven't gotten to the point where the bad has outweighed the good in their marriage in some type of way.
Yeah, but I don't know if that always justifies separation. I think there's so many other options before then. I think
but
just,
the
I,
first
I think that's,
that.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
I mean, I just think that's, you know, that could be a cop-out, just running away, causing a bigger problem.
Yeah, I mean, it causes a bigger problem, but that's the easy way out. I mean, it's separating the easy way out sometimes for us. Then you don't want to fix the bad. Not that it, you can't. You just feel like you don't need to.
I think we think it's the easy. I mean, it's thought of as the easy way out, but it's, you know, like the brother said earlier, I mean, you're still going to have problems. I mean.
So why would it be an option? We talk on this phone all the time that about, you know, divorce should not be an option. And
shouldn't be.
And now we're saying it's okay. Sometimes we might need to separate. And that, aren't we being hypocrites in that part of being, you know, thinking of that word?
I didn't say that.
No, yeah, I'm saying.
I think it's easier said than done. You know, because, I mean, when you've been there, and I've been there, you know, where that word slips out, you know, where we need to look at separation. I mean, that's huge, you know, when you have those conversations. And it's not, I mean, it's not easy. I think that, you know, we know that's not an option and all that good stuff, but, you know, the reality is that sometimes things get tight, you know, so, and we see out the door as the best option, unfortunately.
And you see out the door is the best option. In your mind, here's some things I wrote down that I thought that may cause some concerns when it comes to separation. And let me know if you've been through this or if you know somebody who's been through this or it's happening right now. In your mind, your spouse just can't do the right things in it.
Yeah.
Have you heard anybody say that?
Yep. I got that part. But you got to find a way to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a separation, like when you say, I mean, Rodney said it earlier, you can be separated and live in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can go to a separate room for a little while. Or come to bed when you know your spouse is sleeping. You know, that's virtually separation, too. Y'all just occupying the same space for a shorter period of time. You know, but it's you know, but what are you achieving? Like, how do you fix the problem when you use that measure?
Well, what is the right thing? That would be my question. Is it the right thing that in your mind should be right? I mean, that is because this is a high level statement. Let's just be honest. Let's break down what it really means. In your mind, your spouse just can't do the right things. And what is the right thing? Is it what you want her to do, to believe is right?
I think that right there may be the problem. When you say what you want them to believe is right. A lot of times we find that people are loving the way they know how to love, which may not be the proper way to love, the proper way that your spouse wants to be loved. So the signals are crossed. You know what I mean? So you may say, okay, well, she's not doing the right thing, but that's probably what she knows how to do. So I think that's when the third party comes in and says, okay, well, we need to break down a communication barrier and figure out, you know, like Rodney always talks about the love language. If you don't know the love language, then you're shooting blanks.
Right.
And then you may get fed up and think that, you know, that they're deliberately not wanting to please you or whatever the case may be, but they may just be doing the best that they know how, and it's just not, you know, residing with what you want.
Hmm.
I think sometimes that's where the dilemma comes in, is because shouldn't you be loving each other or interacting with each other based off of the way that you both mutually agreed on? Because at a certain point, you were doing that. Now in a difficult time, for whatever reason, one person has chosen or is unable to do whatever, and they've gone maybe back to their default way of what they know how to love or how they know how to love. But the fact is that you should have had that conversation as to the structure of as to what you need to have happen. You were probably doing it right at some point. It didn't just, you wouldn't have married the person or been in a relationship with the person if they weren't doing it to some degree. Because infatuation and lust can't control you that much, because at a certain point you're like, yeah, I just can't deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to have been some agreement. And I think that's where, you know, sometimes people get to the point where they're just like, yeah, all right, I can't do this anymore. And I think a lot of times that's where people get frustrated, is because we talked about something. We had an agreement. And for whatever reason, now you're not holding up your end of the bargain.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that, but I also disagree, because I think it's easier to manage, you know, when you don't, you know, especially initially in a relationship, when you don't have, you know, the challenges at the, you know, climbing the career ladder, you know, the mortgage, the bills, the car payment, and the kids and activities and all that other extracurricular stuff, you know, as those things start to add up, that's when it's like, oh man, you know, I can't deal with this anymore. And I don't know if y'all have ever played Jenga. Anybody ever played Jenga? But anyway, you've seen it on TV, whereas you basically, you know, you build the blocks up, and then you have to take blocks from the bottom and put them on top, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so y'all seen it. You know, you may not have played it before, but initially when you first start out, when you're building the foundation or whatever, I mean, it's, you know, the building the blocks, it's fine. But then as you remove some of those spots from the foundation, which, you know, I would say aren't removed purposely, you know, it's like they just kind of, the intimacy level, you know, leaves or whatever for whatever reason. Maybe you did have a child. Maybe you did take a new job. Maybe, you know, other unforeseen circumstance or whatever. You take that piece out of the foundation, and then you try to, you know, you put that piece on the top. You know, you try to juggle it, but, you know, and y'all have seen the result of the game. You know, once you take all the pieces out of the, you know, you just it's a continuous juggle, and then at some point, you know, the tower falls. You know, the you know, the blocks that you've been building up, it eventually falls over and you lose. You know, but the whole point is, you know, take it out of the bottom, put it on the top, and keep it, you know, keep it upright. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with what Peyton said wholeheartedly, and I think that that is the cornerstone to why marriages fail, because people change the rules. They change the agreement. They get amnesia.
Yep.
And then to what you were saying, Rodney, about the foundation, I think that when you do pick up more kids and you get more responsibility, I think that the foundation wasn't strong enough from the get-go. Because it sounds like the foundation is only good if it's just two people.
Mm.
When you just worry about each other. But when the foundation starts, when you start putting blocks, adding blocks to the foundation seems to get weak and start to crumble. And why is that?
Because you go away from what was the standard. As you guys have pointed out many, many times, the whole concept of who you're supposed to support and love is your spouse. When you start putting other people in front of your spouse, whether you believe it or not, you're messing with your foundation. Because when women say, he's got to love my kids. My kids come first. Whoa, 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 whoa. Your husband comes first.
Mm-hmm.
Husband comes first. Secondly, you know, but not even secondly, but, you know, in the same regard, my wife comes first. I mean, there's been times that I've gotten into conversations with my wife, and she can't understand why, you know, I'm saying, you know what, I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about you and I. And she's like, well, how can you even not even think about, you know, the children, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, well, because that's not what I'm focusing on right now. I'm talking about you and me. Because I think a lot of times that's what happens, and it is exactly what we've talked about on this phone many, many times. And everything y'all are saying, it all comes together. The foundation has to be focused and key, and it has to be concrete. It can't be built in sand. When you think about the three little pigs, the house that withstood all of the huffing and puffing and blowing your house down was the one that was actually built sturdy, not twigs. Nothing. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have something strong, and it starts with you being able to understand what the agreement was. When you start changing the agreement, or one person now is putting other people in front of who's supposed to be the most important and how we can – I mean, I can support all the blocks, all the additional blocks, if my wife supports me.
Wow.
Wow.
And
wow.
Well, can I add to this at all?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I just got on the phone, and I heard the brother just say, as far as you made that one comment about you got to love my kids, and I think that's one of the problems when you have kids out of wedlock or from a previous relationship, that changes the rules up a little bit. That changes the rules, because you can't not say from my new husband comes first before my kids from another relationship, from my past, because this is what I am right now. Now, when you talk about changing the rules, I don't think people necessarily always change the rules. I don't think they were upfront from the very beginning.
Yep.
They're putting up this front of what it's going to be, and then later on, like you say, that lust and all that stuff goes away, and then you can't quite maintain those things. You can't keep putting that front up forever. At some point, it's going to be like, okay, the real person is going to come out, and, that's what I think happens. That was just my little take on it, but.
Good words.
Yeah, that's positive.
Hey, this is good, fellas. This is good, but And just saying that, sometimes we take the head, the word head, and head of household too seriously.
Too seriously? I don't think you can take it seriously enough.
That's what I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm serious, man. I'm serious about this, man, because sometimes our head can get too big and we're not listening to what's really being said from our wives. And it ends up, you end up having constant fighting inside the home. Because I put it this way, it's been said on this phone more than once. Because I said so, I put my foot down, and that's what it is, what it is. If you either take it, like it, or you can leave. We have all said that at one time in our marriage.
We really haven't, but go ahead.
I don't know about that. I think we all have stood up and said that's an executive decision. But the thing is it goes back to what we talked about just a second ago, is that it goes back to that high-level thinking of, are we really right? What does right mean? Do we understand? Is it just our point of thought, or is it really what marriage is all about? Because there is a myth about marriage. I mean, if we know it or not. And it's been compromised many, many of times, and it's been written different ways. But sometimes we take just some words out of context and we put it in our own way and say this is the right way. So that's why I asked that question. Do we take the head, being the head, seriously, too seriously, which affects our marriage?
Well, again, I must say I don't think we can take it seriously enough. I mean, you have to be willing to step up and take those. I look at it just like, basketball's going on right now. In the clutch, I'm going to take the shot. I want the ball. What that means is that if I make the shot, I'm going to celebrate and say, I'm going to make sure in the interview I'm saying we, us, and I'm never going to say I. But if I miss the shot, I'll say it was all on me.
Wow.
I think that's how sometimes women don't necessarily see why we're taking the head of household so serious. It's not that I'm not trusting you. It's not that I'm not believing in you. It's just that, you know what? If I mess up, if the decision falls through, I'm man enough to say, you know what? I took the shot. It's all on me. I failed my team. I failed. Mm-hmm. Because I'm willing to take that role that seriously. At the same time, if I make the shot and something goes positively, you better believe I'm going to celebrate with my teammates, meaning my wife.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to celebrate with her and say, you know what, we did this. Not this is my house. These are my things. I got this. No, you helped me get here. You stood by me. You helped me make decisions. And whether you believe it or not, I listened to what you said, and I was able to piece things together. It might have seemed like I didn't listen, but you better believe I heard you, and I understood. And here we are now celebrating together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes where things get a little difficult with how women perceive things. And, you know, people can easily say, well, you're taking this head of household thing too seriously. Your head's so big, you're not listening. No. It's just that I'm okay with taking the clutch shot. And I feel confident in saying that most of us on this call are okay with taking the clutch shot. And if we fail, we will say, you know what? It falls on me.
Yeah.
know what? And that's the answer I was looking for, because 9 times out of 10, if you have the wife that you want, she wants you to take that shot anyway. She's looking for you to take that shot.
Exactly.
Bam.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what? You know what? If you have to make the statement, I'm the head of this household, that means your house is not in order.
There you go.
If you have to make that statement to your wife, you got problems. You are really not the head of that household.
That's right, because any going back to basketball, any star player on any team, nobody has to say who the star is on the team.
Nope.
But we know they're going to get the ball. Everybody knows they're going to get the ball at the end of the game, and sometimes you can stop them, sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to say I'm the head of household. No, you don't have to say that. Everybody know you're getting the ball.
Yeah, it's the dude getting double and triple teamed. That's who it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't have to say anything. But you're right. Your house is not in order, just like your team would not be in order. And there's a million teams out there who don't have a star player, and everybody's wondering who's going to take the shot at the end of the game. They ain't winning championships.
Because they don't have a star player.
They don't have nobody. There's a whole lot of people saying they could make the shot, but could is not getting it done.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of wannabe head of household. They're not
exactly
a star player, and they wonder why they got to keep saying over and over again, I'm the man of the house. I'm the man of it. They got to say it every day.
You ain't got to say that. If you do what you're supposed to do, you are exactly right. Your wife will want you to take the shot. She's going to be there to support you. She's going to be like, you know what? Yep. Okay. Now, she might get a little frustrated at times because she feels that you're not necessary. But if you take the time to explain to them that, look, it's not about me getting these accolades or getting the MVP at the All-Star weekend. We did this.
Mm-hmm.
She'll draw the play up for you.
Thank you.
But what about the brothers that's like LeBron James?
Uh-oh.
They want to take the shot when things are good, but when things are bad, they want to pass the rock.
Oh!
I knew you were going to say that, man.
I knew that was coming. As I talked more and more, I was like, somebody can ring a LeBron. Somebody's going to bring up LeBron.
Yeah, because what did he do in the All-Star game? He tried to pass the ball, and what did he do? Turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And Kobe was like, why don't you take the shot?
That's why they ain't winning.
Wow.
They don't know their role. Don't know their role. And they don't know their role, period. Period.
Yeah, but I will say, too, just like a star player, I mean, you kind of have to take that role, because the world really will look at you in the same way that Peyton was talking about. So if you make a bad decision, everybody's going to say, well, he's not handling his business.
Right.
If you make a good decision, oh, they're such a great family, they're such a great couple, but they don't know what goes into that. So you almost have to have that mentality, because whether you do or you don't, that's how you're going to be judged.
Right.
That's it. And you know, there's always somebody looking at the wife. And they wait for you to pass the ball and cause a turnover. I'm just saying, we're going to talk about it later in this call, but we talk about my sport, basketball, and I just had to put that out there, that just like you said, everybody in the world is looking. And once they see that your status is gone now, that you're going to pass the ball, they're going to play you different. Because they know what you're going to do. And they know what they're going to do. And that gets to my next one. When you turn from lovers to roommates, when you in the house and y'all ain't even talking to each other. It's hey, bye, I'm going to bed. You're just roommates in your own home. The time for separation.
Now let me ask you a question about them, because it's good that you brought that up. Can that be, well, I mean, obviously it can be a permanent state, but I think that we all have done it on a temporary state. Not that we wanted to do it, but that's just how we felt for something to transpire. Yeah, I don't feel like talking to you for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But what if it's just a temporary state? I think that's normal. But then you hear about people that's their lifestyle. They moved into separate rooms and it's permanent now. We don't have that to talk about. We just here for the kids and we here because we can't afford to leave.
Mm. They're communicating over email or text messaging in the house.
In the house.
Wow. In the house. You know, both of y'all got your tablets up and your iMessage to each other because you don't want to talk to each other.
That's crazy. But yeah. like the brother said, it happens, and it's not like we intended for that, for it to get that way. But it started, you know. It's like, yeah, I ain't gonna talk to her for a couple of days. Then a couple of days turn into a week turn into a couple of weeks turn into a month, and then next thing you know, you sleeping in the kids' room or in the guest room, and it's like, whoa, you know. Like you say, I mean, we roommates now. We meet up at the kitchen. It's like you got the half of the mortgage. You know, are you going to pick up the baby's daycare? It gets there. It's not, I think that we, you know, when people think about it, they think that, you know, it's overnight, you know, you sleeping in the guest room and or whatever the case may be. But it's not like that. It's just, it's a slow, you know, it's almost like with the snowball rolling down the mountain. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, you got this giant ball of snow rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
One word, three syllables. Selfishness. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think also, too, it has to do with, like, once you start arguing so much, you tend to forget how to, you know, be nice to one another.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been in that situation, you know, and I still get into it to this day. Like, if my wife and I are going through things, and like you said, it's just like a snowball effect. Then after a while, it's like, I don't even know how to be nice to her or, like, you know, pay her a compliment when I really look at her and think, like, that actually look nice today. It's hard for me to get those words out of my mouth, like, you look nice.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You know how to, but you don't want to.
Right.
You know?
But it's not even that I don't want to, but it's just like, how. If I say it, it's going to come out wrong, and it's just, I don't know. And then it just kind of builds, you know. And two, we just have that one moment, and then we're good, you know, for a while. Then it just happens all over again at some point.
Yeah. Do you think that you never discussed the conversation, so you never got it out your system?
No. I think it gets discussed. You know what I mean? Whenever the situation it might be. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, sometimes it's maybe one of us is not being truthful as far
mm-hmm.
as how we feel. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had the answer. I mean, but,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And sometimes it's the same thing. And you just pick and choose your battles, and you're like, okay, I already know the outcome. So I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to keep going here to the same thing. You know what I mean? So instead of trying to be problem solving, you're like, well, it is what it is, and you just accept it.
That's good words. That's good words. Anybody else before we move on? Here it is. It's you know, 5 minutes before 10 o'clock. Well, one or both of you is having an affair. Let's talk
Say
about
again.
It.
Say it again.
One of you are having an affair. And let's think of the word affair. That doesn't mean you have to have actual contact with another lady, you know.
Right.
You
right.
can have a visual affair.
Emotional affair.
You can have an emotional affair. Right. You can have a pornetic affair.
Pornographic.
Pornographic. There you go. There's a lot of different affairs other than flirtatious affair.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that on this call a lot, where sometimes it's just in our nature because we want to feel young or we want to know if we still got it. And when you're going through these constant fights with your wife and you're going through these when you lost the ability or the willingness to resolve marital problems inside your home, and the resentment or contempt has replaced patience and love, you start flirting with your eyes, with your how you talk to women. Is that not a true statement when it comes to separate? Before you want to say you want to separate.
Yeah, because I think it's easier, you know, especially if you're not getting in the communication and the intimacy and all that good stuff back at home. You know, it's easier to throw that compliment at Tracy at work. And guarantee you, Tracy will receive it better, too. You know, whereas if you throw your wife a compliment, like the brother said, you know, you actually look pretty good today. She like, I mean, she might respond, well, what do you want? What do you want? Why are you being nice to me? It's like, what? I was just giving you a compliment. You are my wife. I mean, I can't give you a compliment unless I want something, you know? Whereas Tracy, like, thank you. You looking mighty fine yourself today. I like that tie. I'm like, well, thank you. And that's where it starts. And then, you know, you go home, you sleeping in the toddler bed or whatever, down the hall in the guest bed, and, you know, you might pick up the phone and text Tracy and say, hey, what you doing? And then that's where it starts, because I think that people, you know, we don't intend for it to go that route, but it's, you know, when the ball gets rolling, it's easy to go there. It's easy to go there.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. You're on somebody's street. It ain't mine. you're on somebody's street, because that's how it happened right there, man. It just, it's not innocent. I mean, you know, we say it's innocent, but it's really not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because those are intentions. Because guess what? Tracy was always attractive. She ain't just get attractive because you have an issue.
Right.
She was always somebody like, if I wasn't married, I would hit that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
you see, and it's just that the issues that we have bring those feelings, give those feelings some legs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we don't want those legs, because the legs, because just like you said, once that ball starts rolling and you find out it's all good, and you start saying, maybe I can get away with it. Maybe just a lunch date.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's if there's attraction there, it's hard to reel it back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you, if you got marriage problems and there's attraction and there's a green light, that's a kiss of death. That's a kiss of death right there. If she's fine, that's a kiss of death. Kiss
yeah.
of wrath.
And she won't say nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Because guess what? We lie to ourselves better than we lie to anybody.
Yep.
We can lie to ourselves to the point where it's like we believe that we're being wrong. We believe that it's all her fault. We believe that, you know what I'm saying, and then we can get away with it. All of that. And before you know it, we knee deep somewhere
yeah.
we shouldn't be.
And we justify. And then, you know,
we justify
Tracy,
to
you know, yeah, she pull you up and get you up against the wall. You know, you're like, I can get away from this. And it's like, whoa. You know, you talked about being knee deep. What did Tracy get knee deep on you?
Yeah.
Then what you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
What, you gonna ask her to stand up?
Don't do that, Tracy.
You
don't do
stand
that.
Up.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
They'll get that tomorrow. Knee deep, huh? Wipe your knees off. Come on, wipe your knees off.
Oh, gosh.
No, we all got it. We just looking for Tracy. That's what we got.
That's good. That's good.
topic is that, you know, we see a lot of things in the news. I mean, you just go to court TV, somebody's marriage is going bad, somebody is dropping their wife off in the river. They're plotting instead of using separation as a key. They're using murder as a key.
Yeah.
Now, and it's getting tough. I mean, when separation is not the answer, I mean, we already said what the actual definition is, and it's 12 different definitions for separation, to be separate. So that tells you right there how tough it is when we start using that word that we want to move apart from, disconnect ourselves from a situation. We have to, due to the fact that if we don't, we will cause murder, or something that will come out of us that we can't even control. But when your children are reaching through the stress in your marriage by fighting more, having difficulties in school, getting in trouble with police, using drugs, alcohol, becoming sexually promiscuous, and now they're shooting kids in school. There's 3 deaths today because a kid had issues. And how much? And the first thing they said today on the news is the family issues. His father was always in jail. The mother and the father never got along. They separated. That's what they said on CNN. I'm not lying. Go look at it. It's happening right now. Do we understand what separation does to our kids?
I don't think we do. And I think that's the piece that we often overlook. And, you know, I think we think about it from the standpoint of, especially when the kids are of age, you know, they're adults. But either way, I think, like the brother said earlier, that, you know, we lie to ourselves, you know, saying, hey, you know, I can leave and I can be a weekend dad or summer vacation father or whatever it is, and, you know, the kids will be fine. The kids will be cool with it. And that's a lie, you know, because, like you said, I mean, the kids, they expected, you know, mommy and daddy to be together, you know, and I think kids do realize that, of course, everything is not going to be rosy all the time, but I think that we overlook that. And then it gets deeper than that because then it becomes generational. Because we walked out, because somebody walked out, you know, then that child, that young boy, that young girl, they saw that, they witnessed that, they experienced that, and they were hurt by it. So when they become an adult, they were like, well, you know, daddy rolled out, so I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, I think that we overlook the fact that, number one, it'll affect our immediate, you know, children. But at the same time, it will affect, your children's children. You know, it's generational, and I think that we don't look into that. We don't even think about that when we think about rolling out. We just think about, like you said, Mr. Host, we're being selfish. You know, we're thinking about ourselves in the situation, and that is pretty much it. I'm not happy, so, you know, I need to roll out.
When you're not happy. So that is being selfish. I mean, when it's all about you.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You know, at the wedding, we say I do. Right, everybody says I do. You get married, I do. But divorce, separation, you know, all of those things happen because we then say I don't. Now, some of y'all will get that tomorrow. But, you know, essentially, you know, it's, you know, we start saying, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. You know, whereas initially, when we started our lives together, we started with I do. Sickness and in health, richer and poor. You know, I do. All of it. Yeah, I do, Reverend. Yeah. But then we get to a point where it's like, no, nah, nope, mm-mm. I don't. I ain't doing that.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think that we knew what we were saying on that day? That we knew what I do meant?
No. No. I think that a lot of us were going through the motions. You know, just saying, what you say, Reverend? Okay, I'll repeat that. But I don't think we knew the impact, you know, to your question of what exactly we were taking on. You know, what we were actually doing. You know, granted, thankfully, we were able to figure it out along the way, and she hung around while we figured it out. But, you know, to your question, I don't think we really did. Because we didn't have that, we didn't have the information like, you know, young man, are you prepared for what you're taking? I mean, we didn't have that heart-to-heart. It was just kind of, you know, maybe we got some counseling beforehand. But I don't think we knew the magnitude of what we were doing, to answer your question. I don't. You know, maybe somebody disagree with me. I don't think so. I don't think
we did. I don't know. You were kind of warned. I mean, your fellas warned you. Your pop and pops and said, hey, you know what you're doing? Are you ready?
Yeah, but that was the extent of it.
I mean, they didn't follow through, but it was supposed to make you think. Because sometimes we get married on emotions, and it goes to another thing that I want to talk about is that do we do things for others?
Well, hold on. Moving a little fast.
Yeah.
I think that when I think about what you just said, Rodney, I think back on lying on a resume to get the job. And being in an interview and they're asking you, well, you know, we do this here. And then you're like, well, yes, I'm a fast learner. And yes, I did do that. And yes, you're agreeing to everything to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
You're making yourself seem like you are the right candidate for that position.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, and I'll figure it out if I get hired. I'll figure it out, but I need to get the job. And I'll figure it out. I'll learn. I'll stay after work. I'll do whatever I need to do. I hang around those that know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But some, like you said, you really don't know what you're signing up for. It just sounds like the job to have.
Mm. That's strong. And like you said, you know, when your father did, you know, boy, do you know what you're doing? Nobody ever says, you know what, Dad, I really don't. You know, what do we say in all our pride? And, yeah, I know her. We good. You know, I love her. You know, yeah, everything good, pops. And then that's the extent of the conversation. You know, pops don't really sit us down and say, no, we need to go have a beer. We need to go sit down. You know, I really need to make sure that you understand what you're about to do.
But listen, when you like the brother just said, like, you know, you're trying to get that job, you know what I mean, and then you're going to say you can do whatever to do it. If you start questioning yourself from the beginning and say, I really don't know, then that's when you mess around and not even get married. That person, I mean, like, once you say, you know, you commit to that person and you say to yourself that you're going to get married, you're not going to convince yourself otherwise not to unless you really don't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, if I really start questioning it, like, you know, a few days before, like, man, what did I just get myself into, then that's going to be an issue. And it's going to be you not getting married at the last minute or something like that, or postponing it and making a real bad relationship if y'all even go further at all. I mean, so.
But that's good words, man. Good words. And the $64 million question is, if you have those reservations, should you get married?
Mm.
If you have the question whether you're ready or you understand what, and I'm just asking this because, you know, it's just coming to me, but if you have to ask yourself during those times, do I really know what I do means? Am I ready to do the whole sickness and health and all of that? Am I ready? If you don't know that you're ready, should you just go ahead and take the L and get married?
And T.O., you bring up a good point. So, you know, what if you were the best man at your boy's wedding, you know, this Saturday, and And before the wedding, right before, he was like, "Yo, man, to your eyes, I don't know. I mean, what do you do? You know, do you continue to say, oh, nah, man, you be all right, you know, I made it through, you know, you be good? Or would you really say, maybe we need to think about postponing or canceling? I mean, what kind of advice would you give him? If your boy literally said, T-Hawk, man, I just don't know. I really don't know. I mean, what do you tell him? What do you tell him?
That's a tough one, man.
Mm-hmm.
Money spent.
Yeah. Tux is ordered.
Food is paid for. People have got their tickets, airplane
mm-hmm.
tickets, hotel reservation, the whole nine yards.
Your mama got on the best dress.
Mama got on the best dress. You know what I mean?
And then you go stand up there in front of them saying, we're not getting married today.
Because the worst thing to happen is when they start having these unfixable problems, and then you say to him, man, I knew you wasn't ready.
Wow.
After the fact.
Yeah, thanks, best man.
Thanks, best man.
But don't they always, I mean, but that's why he's your best man, because he's probably been throwing you hits all along, but you haven't been.
They're like, no, nah, she ain't the one. Like, I know Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The funny part, it goes even deeper than that. Because when you start thinking about best man, who's going to be your best man? You going to pick the cat that's going to throw the wildest bachelor party? Or you going to pick the one that's going to sit down and talk to you about the fundamentals about what you're getting ready to do?
Wow.
And that's real talk, because I can remember back in the day, there was for my wife, there was another one. I was had my nose wide open. I was like, you know, this might be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And it took my friends to say, sit down and say, hey, Trace, listen up. Let me tell you about the girl. This ain't the one for you. I know you. This ain't the one for you. And I kept pushing them back. No, y'all know what you're talking about. Until it took him to tell me, really, he showed me. He's like, look, man, let's go out tonight. I said, all right, let's go. And next thing you know, I had to see it with my own eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I've been trying to tell you, I know you, man, the whole time. But, you know, your nose wide open. And sometimes as men, our nose do get wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes, like you say, you got to see it for yourself. And, you know, unfortunately, it's some of the hardest experience we have to go through, but that's some of our best learning experiences. You know, when you see stuff for yourself, not necessarily as it relates to, you know, marriage and divorce, but when you see things for yourself firsthand, I mean, that's some good learning. I mean, it's versus somebody prevented you from making the mistake in the first place, you know, the next time it comes up, it really don't hit home. But I mean, if you really got burned on a situation, you'd be like, oh no, I ain't doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's some of our hardest lessons. Going through it yourself.
Yeah.
But isn't it sometimes that it takes another female to see what our own female is doing? What?
Mm-mm, don't do that, brother. been there, did that.
I'm serious. Sometimes, I mean, we talk about it because we already married. But, and I'm saying this because I don't know if y'all went to go see the movie this weekend, the little Tyler Perry movie.
No, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, I've seen it, so.
And one of the things that happened.
No.
Hello, Aaron.
We ain't
seen it. I'm Steve White, editor of the Garmos Publisher.
Oh.
Pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, now I know
that. So,
refresh
my memory.
Ontario,
exactly,
man.
What would you like to do with Diana?
I would just like to talk to Diana for a little while.
There
Hello?
You go.
That.
Thank you, Mr. Hoax. Go ahead, Mr. Hoax.
Sorry about that. But
mm-hmm.
I've seen it where it took the eyes of some, you know, and it doesn't have to be a woman. It could just be through somebody else's eyes that you're not happy. But the thing was, is you, you go back and communicate that you're not happy. And sometimes the agreement is well, you find out that they're not happy. And isn't that easier when you have to go to your wife and say, listen, I'm not happy, you're not happy. It's not an argument. It's not because you're not doing the right things. It's just that we have fallen out of lust, if that's a good word. We still love each other. I've fallen out of that lust for you, if that makes sense.
Hmm. It does.
You still love your wife, but the lust is gone. You know, the excitement is gone. Everything becomes routine. Same thing every day.
Can she be part in taking that away from you?
Yes.
I mean, we might as well just take it there since we're already here. Let's just take it there.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have something, because someone said early in the beginning, it was one way, and that's what you're used to, and that's what you liked. And all of a sudden, everything changes, and now you got to get adapted to this new way, which is not lustful for you. It's not, you're like, well, what is this? It's hard for me to connect with this new thing, or this lack of whatever we had, or, you know, the change that was made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, you got to still have that fire for your wife. And if they try to squelch that or take it away from you, man, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You start saying to yourself, wait a minute now, this is crazy. Because again, we agreed on something. We had something going, and you called an audible. I don't have a problem with calling audibles if I know what the play is once you call an audible. But I don't know what the play is now. I mean, I've said a million times before on the call, fellas, you know, Peyton Manning coming to the line works because the rest of the players know what the audible is. When he's waving his arms and patting his helmet and hitting his chest, everybody knows what the audible is. Now, could you imagine if he went to the line and started doing that and the receivers and the tight ends and the line didn't know what was going on?
Yeah.
It would be crazy. But I think sometimes that's where we are with regards to our marriages with these women at different points is – getting back to the foundation and the structure. I don't have a problem with us calling the audible, but let me go to the meetings. Let me be sitting in the film room so that I can learn what the audible is. But don't call it and I don't know what it is, because then we're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
On top of all the blocks that we've added on to the top of the Jenga, we're going to have a problem. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm expecting to go left, but we're going right.
Somebody
How's
said,
that going to work?
Somebody told me one time about letting your spouse, don't let your spouse become more worldly than you. You know, then that, and what they meant by that was, like, if your spouse is doing other things and you just kind of still want to stay in that same place that you've always been in, then after a while you start growing apart. You know what I mean? Like, whether, you know, you should still be a part of some of those changes. Like you said, be a part of those meetings. If it's a meeting going on, you say, no, I'm not going to that meeting. You know what I mean? I'm going to be over here. Then you're going to start doing different things, and you start growing apart.
Brother, I think you really stumbled on something profound, and you may not even realize it. Because, you know, what you just said is just, you know, just looking at the marriage in general. You know, what if, you know, you're... You know, initially, you know, when you got into the marriage, you know, y'all were this or that. But, you know, then you started really learning how to be the head of household. It's like, man, I'm gonna be the best head of household that I can be. I'm gonna get all the books. I'm gonna, you know, get on household stress or, you know, whatever it is. You were just like, man, this thing is really deeper than, you know, just the day-to-day, the routine, as the host was talking about. This is some deep stuff here, and I need to be on my game. But your wife, on the other hand, she's still back at the altar. You know, we all said, I do. So she's not, you know, getting any training or, you know, just investing in, you know, in the relationship and trying to improve the quality of your marriage and the intimacy. You know, it's all on you.
Yep.
when one wants to change and the other one doesn't.
I'll take it a step further, fellas. A couple of y'all have said on the call that y'all got saved at different points in your life, and the women in your life weren't necessarily at that point.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that definitely has created some rifts and some situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's usually the opposite. You know, it's usually the woman that, you know, gets her life right, and then, you know,
right.
You come dragging along.
Either way, it's gonna mess with the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Especially
either
if y'all
way.
Started, you know, beating up the club or, you know, or whatever it was you did. You know, I'm not begrudging going to the club, don't get me wrong, but, you know, say as, you know, one of y'all's lying, I'm really not doing the club scene anymore.
Mm.
You know, and the other one's like, huh? What are you talking about? We used to beat up the club. You know, it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah, really not trying to do. We need to, you know, probably we need to sit down and talk about our long and short-term goals. And they're looking at you like you got three heads.
Don't let them go to the club by themselves. That's all I got to say.
Separation.
Yeah.
Don't let them get that separation. And that's just like, what they say with a receiver?
Don't let them get space.
That's right. Don't let them get that separation because you're done. I mean, if there's a little bit of separation, you're burnt. You know, touchdown.
Exactly. And there was only one Dion that could make up that space. Only one.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you know, somebody is scoring a touchdown on your wife.
Yes, they are. Doing the end zone dance and all.
Wow.
You know where you are? On the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get back in the game. Can't get
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm.
But now your game is not good enough. Somebody else has stepped in.
Right, you an old man in the game. There's a rookie in there now getting all the ticks.
Mm.
Don't send him to the club by himself.
honey, I'm not up to it. You go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
See you when you get back.
And that just brings up a good point. Can someone from the outside make you want to separate from your wife?
Mm. You wanting to do that on your own.
Uh-oh.
You wanting to do that on your own because you're allowing that person to even get that close to allow you to even remotely have those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Because it'll be there somewhere. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, but you go back. Somebody said this earlier. When you go back and you want to add all the bad versus the good, and you add and there's more bad than good, then what? You know, this person over here got more good than bad that you know on the front end, so you start moving over that way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody know at 10:21 what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That cookie is a little fresher on the other side.
Or at least
just,
think
you
think
it is. What do you do then?
You said it just came out the oven.
It's fresh. It just came out the oven. It's hot.
Yeah. Don't let it get too fresh, fellas.
Got this old alcohol I took at home. Still good, but just...
Don't let it get too fresh. Yeah. Y'all might, you know, be find yourself locked up, you know. Like, I thought you were 18. Like, no.
Hey, because I want to be honest, fellas. I mean, it starts off, like, can separating be good? Can it be a good thing?
Hmm.
And the reason why I say that, because I'm separated right now. And
uh-oh.
There's nothing wrong with my marriage. But I'm separated because of work. 100%. I would rather be at home, but my job puts me on travel. And it happens to probably some of us on this phone is that, you know, we pick careers that sometimes has you on travel. I mean, you see it on TV. If you want to be a basketball star, you would be on travel. You want to be a broadcaster, you might be on travel. You know, we pick these careers. You know, if you're going to be a businessman or owner, you're going to be on travel. You got to go to training. You got to do all these things. We're separated from our wives. So now we're in a different world because we're not home every night. Can that be the problem?
Yeah, because I think that's another thing. And to those of you who have the luxury of, you know, a 9-to-5 or whatever you want to call it, where you're home like clockwork every night, Monday through Friday, weekends off, I think that so often we take that for granted because there are people when you're off on Saturdays, Sunday, every Sunday you're off, they're working. You know, they might own their own business, you know, where they have to. It ain't no, oh, you know, the weekends, you know, the shop is closed, the store is closed. No, they have to be there because they own the business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we live in a 24/7, you know, society. And, you know, so somebody is all, I mean, you go out and about, somebody is working. And I think that we take for granted, it's like they have a family at home, man or woman. I mean, they got kids. They might have a spouse, boyfriend, girl. I mean, we don't take for granted. That's time spent, like the whole set, away from home. And then you talk about things like the military. You go off, you get deployed for months, years at a time, taking you away from the household. And if you don't think that those, you know, those seconds add up to minutes, add up to hours, add up to days, add up to weeks, add up to months, add up to years of time spent away from the home, and that is a slow deterioration of your marriage. You know, all that time spent away from the home, you know, it's not a healthy situation. Like, if you could prefer one or the other, like 9-to-5 home every night at 5:30, or, you know, gone for 3 or 4 months at a time, or, you know, living like the host said, out of the area 5 days out of a 7-day week, you know, then on the road in between time. I mean, that's tough, but somebody's mm-hmm. doing it. Somebody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody has to keep your life better.
Yeah. And I think, and it gets even, especially for a man, it gets even harder for you to say, you know, the whole head of household thing. I mean, can you be effective head of household from afar? When you're not doing the day-to-day and you know, you're out months at a time. And by the time you do get a chance to come back home, you're so used to being gone, you can't wait to get back on the road.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't know how to fit in, you know, and your wife, she don't know how to adjust with you around. Because she's been handling the kids and the homework and the dinners and the PTA meetings and the, you know, whatever it is. She's been handling it by herself and with some help without you there. So then you show back up, and it can be difficult for you to, you know, slide right in.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through it today. All three of them were sick.
Oh, man.
You know? And here I am. So not only does she have to take care of herself and the kids, she doesn't have me there to support her. But she understands the goal. But the thing is, I mean, it goes back to somebody said earlier, you got to weigh the good with the bad. But in sacrifices in marriage, somebody also said that it's good to get away from home. Maybe this may help our marriage better when this task is over. That you don't want to take it again, that you can't live without her, and you want to be as close as you can at all times. Maybe,
now,
you know, by being away makes your marriage stronger, is what I'm saying.
102.
Yeah. They say distance makes the heart grow fonder, but how long was it before you left that they got sick?
Monday.
I left yesterday.
She was sick Monday.
What? Say that again. You left Sunday and they were sick Monday?
Yeah.
Wow.
So do you think that they were suffering a little bit from separation anxiety?
It's
been on my mind.
Home from Cyber Mental.
Hey, Pete.
It's been on my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that's... So you left Sunday, they were sick Monday, and now the whole house sick.
Now the whole house sick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Then my son and then my wife.
I think that was, you know, literally what we're talking about tonight, fellas, is that, I mean, that's... Could be a common cold. Or it could be a little bit of that anxiety for the week to come. Because, I mean, his wife ain't. She on her own now 5 days out of the week.
Yeah, the kids don't like that I had to go on travel, but they understand why I'm on travel.
Yeah, because daddy got to make that bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially when, you know, when you because. My whole thing about talking to them about this is that you always got to stay strong on your dreams.
Yep.
And regardless of what you do in your life, if it's a marriage, if it's, you know, hurting somebody, you know, sometimes it's hard to leave the nest, but you got to leave the nest to follow your dream. And when I mean the nest, your family, mother, father.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to leave your own family to follow your dream just so you can make a better life for them. Because they look at you, you still want them to look at you as a mentor, as your idol, right? You don't want a basketball player to be your son or daughter's mentor, right? You want that to be you because you're the head. And you want to be able to you protect them throughout their life. So, you know, you're in a win-lose situation a little bit when we talk about separation, because there's a lot of times we've heard on this call where, you know, I won't do it because I just can't stay away from my wife. And we've heard things like, you know, I won't go anywhere with the fellas unless my wife comes along. You know, we want to make sure our wives and everything, but then don't you lose that luster? If you don't take risk, also, could cause separation. It could cause separation anxiety.
Yeah, and I think that
you have to
get buy-in. And I know, you know, we all have things at work and, you know, things that happen, but a lot of times they don't consult with you, you know, when decisions are made. So there's really no need you griping about it for too long, because it's not like they're going to say, oh, really? Right now, okay. You know, we'll change it back to how it was. That's not how it's going to work. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be, and you need to get on the train or the train, you know, while the train's leaving the station. So, you know, when you talk to your kids and wife about the decision you make to take this opportunity out of state, I mean, everybody got to buy in, you know, and number one, the main person that has to buy in is you, because it ain't going to work if you're like, yeah, I got to do this, you know, I don't want to do it, you know. You got to be on board, like, you know, this is what I got to do. I got to do what I got to do, because your kids and your wife will respond accordingly. You know, they'll absorb that, and, you know, they'll start feeling the same way, you know, like marking off the counter, like you went off to jail or something, you know, like when daddy coming back home. You know, is it over yet? You know, if you like moping around and like, oh man, I hate this job and I don't want to do this. So, you know, you got to get buy-in all the way around.
You know, it's funny that we're talking about this, because earlier we did say that. Well, I made a comment that we can convince ourselves better than we can convince anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because you made a comment, you said, you know, the kids understand. Because we tell them what we have to do, and we say, well, you know, this is what it is, and this is why we have to do it. Just last Saturday when I was at work, one of my coworkers' son had a basketball game. That was at 6. The basketball game was probably an hour away. And he's like, man, my son's got a basketball game. I really need to go. And I'm like, man, you should go. You know, make a long story short, 7 o'clock, he's still there working.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I didn't say anything because that's, you know, that's you. Yeah, that's your relationship. But early he said, yeah, you know, my son understands when, you know, daddy has to work. I'm like, well, does he really understand? Or is that what you're telling yourself that he understands? Is that what you tell yourself to make it seem better? You know what I mean? And this guy in particular was a weekend father, wasn't even living.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you got the out. The boss said you can leave at 6. Go ahead, go to the game. But that last dollar was calling him, and he didn't go. You know, because he lied to himself to make it believe that, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but on this call, but he made himself believe that the kid was okay, that he just wasn't going to show up to his game because of work.
And we all know that if he had shown up at halftime or with 3 seconds left, how that boy would have felt.
We all know. We all know.
Because I know it's sometimes where I've literally, fellas, I mean literally stepped into the place, you know, wherever it is, ballet or events or whatever, I've stepped into the place coming back, you know, from traveling somewhere, you know, hustling. And I could go home. It's kind of out of my way, you know, to go out. You know, if my oldest was doing something. You know, but I made a point. You know, and one time, literally, I got to the building and they were clapping. Event was over. But I wasn't like, man, I should have just went on home. You know, coming in, it's late. But it was a few minutes where I could spend some time and just, you know, just showing up. I think that's. I mean, just showing up goes a long way. You know, yeah, I was tired. You know, yeah, I would have rather gone home and took my suit off, kicked my feet up, got me a glass of lemonade or whatever it was. But, you know, my daughter was doing something, so I made it a point, you know, because I look at it where, you know, if I start doing that, like the first time I do that, the second time it'll be easier. Third time, it'd be that much easier. The fourth time, the fifth time. And then, like you say, I'm like, she'll be all right.
She'll be all right.
She'll understand.
Mm-hmm. And it's a hard decision for us as men because we know what we got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we know if the money's out of town, we got to go get the money. And it's really not anything that we can do about it for the present moment because guess what? You got light bills, you got the mortgage, kids got to eat.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's a very difficult decision when we have to do that distance thing and think that, and we tell ourselves they're going to be all right. We deep down inside know that they'd rather be there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, can we also use that time as a teaching moment? That sometimes you got, you know, hard work in the short term allows you to do more in the long term.
Well, I mean, if you want to look at if you're one of those people that say, well, we have to look at the positive in this, I guess you can say that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. I mean, you got to look at both sides of it. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, and I'm saying that because my life, you know, my dad has always had 2 or 3 jobs. You know what I mean? He volunteered at the homeless shelter. He had his main job, and then he did weekends at the emergency room. That he was a floater, whatever emergency room. And it was just hard work. He was a hardworking man. He enjoyed his career. Somehow he made it through the games I played and all like that. Just like somebody said. But we all reap the benefits from him working, you know, seeing that he worked hard. If that makes sense. That sometimes, even though kids don't like it, they keep it inside and they understand how to balance their careers and their goals and dreams and what it takes to be successful.
Yeah, but how do you measure success when it comes to family?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? When we think about money, six figures, seven figures, whatever, the house, the car, you know, but what, all those things come at a cost. You see what I'm saying? You know, and those are nice things to have, you know, but you have people that actually have less, but they're there every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing homework. They're going
mm-hmm.
to soccer practice. They're showing up. They're taking their friends, kids, you know what I mean, to the movies, chaperoning, and all these things. You know, but they have less. But you ask them, they say, I'm successful.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'll
you know,
give
we
you...
take this, we take this picture, man, it's like, okay, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example. You know, with my job situation. And I've told y'all the story before, some of y'all, but, you know, I had two job opportunities, and one was closer to home. And that's the one I wanted. Long story short, I didn't get that job. I got the other job that my wife told me I should have taken that takes me further away from home for longer periods of time. But I look back on it now, and the job that I didn't want, I'm actually home just as much, if not more, than if I took the other job. And it kind of worked out where, you know, I was looking at, oh, you know, I can't take that job. I had a three-year-old at the time. We were planning on expanding the family, you know, more. So I was like, I can't take that job, you know, young family being, you know, at least I'd be close. But with that job, I would have been getting home, you know, around the same time, you know. But now I can actually try to head off the separation anxiety because I know when I have to travel. So, you know, I have more flexibility, you know, to do those events, you know, to spend the time beforehand knowing that I'll be gone for 3 days. You know, whereas, you know, in the other situation, the other job, I could be getting home from work late on a regular basis and didn't. It was unexpected. You know, so now I'm actually able to build in some flexibility beforehand, like, okay, I know I got to travel 2 weeks from now, so I know I need to, you know, make sure I hit these events, like no excuses, you know, and, you know, just make them happen because, you know, I'll be out of the picture, you know, a couple of weeks from now as far as traveling is concerned. So, but you could sort of head off, you know, that separation anxiety just by being proactive, which we always talk about, you know, with your time and everything. And as the brother said, last month, I think it was, when we talked about time, was it 1,440 minutes a day or something?
That's it.
And, you know, we gotta figure out how to utilize our time. We got to maximize it. And can't be selfish. You know, like I said, I could have slipped on home them late nights, you know, and kick my feet up. But, you know, I made a point, tired, hungry, to, you know, head to the event just so I could clap and applaud along with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the event and be there to hug my daughter as she's coming off the stage or doing whatever it is she does that for that particular event. And
the
bottom line is, you know, she would ask, you know, where's daddy? No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the thing, fellas. She expects me to be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge because, like you said in the other example, you know, unfortunately, that young man, it's probably a shock if his father shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Whereas with me,
sure.
you know, she expects me to be there. It ain't no, you know, if I'm in town, it ain't no, you know, no. Daddy gonna, and she already know that. It ain't no doubt that daddy gonna be there, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might get a text message on while you're on your way, stop and pick up my blue shoes. Because I know you're coming. So when you get here, you know, stop and pick up my blue shoes. Or I didn't eat. Stop and pick me up something to eat.
Yeah. They know you coming.
They know you coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, before we move on, you know, one reason why we talk about electronics all the time and technology. You know, I bought me one of these tablets because, you know, I talk to my daughter at 6 a.m. when she wakes up every morning, and I call my son at 8 when he wakes up, and then when they get home at 2 and 4. And then I tell her, I'm taking a nap, you wake me up at 6. And so we talk to each other at that time. So first thing she did on my tablet was set up the little, what is it called, Skype?
Yeah, so she could see you.
So she could see me.
Hmm, that's good.
So even at my work, I can Skype her too and say, hey, you home, you good? And I got to go, but I'll talk to you later, you know. And then they're comfortable. So we figured out ways to do it. So
yeah.
You got to use that technology, fellas.
Yeah,
I hear the technology in the background.
I got one for you, though. Yes, indeed. I got one for you right now. And I don't know if anybody is going through this, but we're up in age. We're up in age, and you may know somebody who has done this. I'm not saying we've done it, but you pregnant again? Man, I'm out.
Separation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that's happened.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Good talk, man. I've seen it happen. I mean, they put it on the woman.
And you know what? But you know what, Mr. Host? I mean, that's real talk right there. You know, because, you know, my wife is pregnant right now. And, I mean, it is some separation there. Because there is that other person, you know, as she's carrying. And then those, what is it, fellas, 6 or 8 weeks, you got to wait. I mean, it is some separation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've experienced this. If you've had any children, you know, that there's some resentment, you know, when that baby is in the belly, you know, and you trying to get your groove on in the bedroom, and then when the baby's out, you trying to, you know, get your groove on, and, you know, it's like, oh, baby's hungry, baby's crying, oh, the baby fell asleep right in the middle of our bed again, or whatever
the case may be. I gotta stop you.
Go ahead.
I gotta stop you. I don't really think that justifies a separation.
Okay.
Because if you, I mean, just think about this now. What if you could carry a baby?
Uh-oh. She's on another foot.
She's on another foot. See what I'm saying? She may be feeling the same way you feeling. I can't really be around my husband because I got to feed this baby. I don't look right because my stomach is fat.
My feet swole up. My face swole up. I can't even walk. Can't do nothing. And what are we thinking about? 6 or 8 weeks. I'm just, you know, you look, I understand what you're getting ready to go through, but, you know, that's a two-way street there.
Yeah, you know, we did do a show on vasectomy, you know, we did that.
And look, and you said yes. You said yes. You agree. Uh-huh. You were like, okay, we're going to have this baby. Let's do what we got to do.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be some, you know, some bumps and some bruises, but it's going to be over with before you know it.
Yeah, man. It'll be over with before you know it. You got another pretty baby looking at you as daddy. Saying, all right, I'm ready for all your money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The discipline that you love and all that.
Yeah, but I want to rewind just a tad bit. You know, you were talking about technology. And technology can actually be a double-edged sword because, you know, with TV, the internet, tablets, smartphones, handheld video games, Xbox, those can all be distractions. And I looked up one day, you know, I was in the house and it may have been like a weeknight or just like a weekend night or whatever. We didn't really go anywhere. But I looked up, and we were all sitting in the same room. But everybody was in their own little world. I was on my phone. One of the kids was on a tablet. I don't remember. One of the kids was on the Nintendo DS. I think my wife was watching TV. So we're all sitting there. I think three of us might have been sitting on the same couch. I don't remember. But I'm looking up. I'm like, here we are sitting in the same space. Yet we're separated. We're not engaging in conversation. We're not, you know. We're all in our own, you know, little world, yet we're in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with it.
And I was like, this is not good. You know, these are technological advances have, you know, creeped in and, you know, snatched those precious moments where we could have all been watching a family movie together. Or we could have played a board game together. Because we got, you know, kids' age board games. We got a ton of them. And we play them occasionally, but, you know, I'm just looking at we could have better utilized our time, you know, than on utilizing four different pieces of our technological advances all at the same simultaneously.
Let me ask you a question. Would you have felt the same way if everybody was sitting there reading different books? Good question.
No, you shouldn't. I mean,
everybody got their own book in their hand. Y'all occupying the same space, but everybody's reading a different story.
I mean, that's family time.
That's family time.
It is family time.
So, yeah.
Family time is family time.
It goes back when everybody used to sit at the same table and eat dinner.
Yeah.
You got hands. You got game night.
You got game night for Monopoly. You got game night for, you got movie night. You got all that. Sometimes it's just going to be, okay, we're all occupying the same space, but we're doing our own thing, but we're still at arm's length from each other.
But I believe what Ron is trying to say is that when that comes a habit.
Yeah.
When it comes routine. That everybody's doing their own thing and there's no conversation, and then somebody just gives up, says, I'm out, I'm going to bed.
That's just bad planning. That's just poor use of time management. You see, I mean, because if somebody's not saying, okay, well, you know, like when my daughters come over, I got a plan. You know what I mean? We're gonna play Xbox. We're gonna go to this restaurant. I got a plan. You know, and maybe we end up at the dinner table, everybody's on their phone. But I'm all right with that. You know what I mean? Because they're here, I'm looking at them, I can reach out and touch them. If I want to talk to them, I can talk to them. We're all occupying the same space. I'll take that other than they're somewhere else, I'm somewhere else, and this, that, and the other. But it's just poor management if it's like, okay, you know, somebody gets bored or do their own thing. That means you just didn't have, you know, a plan of what you want to do with the family.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that, you know, you and the host said something key there with dinner time. You know, me and my family, we always eat together if I'm home. You know, we're always sitting at the table. And, yeah, I may be on my phone. But like you said, I mean, they are, you know, we're looking at each other. I can reach out and touch them. I'm, you know, talking to the wife, talking to the kids about school or whatever, because I think that when it comes to separation, I think that, you know, that's another area where the separation can creep in, you know, where somebody takes their dinner to another room, you know, from the table, or takes their dinner upstairs,
yeah.
Or, and then it's no, it's never any coming together. It's like, well, did you eat yet? Yeah, you know, we ate early. You know, the food's in the refrigerator, food's in the oven. Everybody just kind of on their own, you know, on their own schedule. But, you know, with us, you know, we make a point. You know, they don't eat until daddy gets home. You know, and like Peyton always say, you know, daddy get the big piece of chicken, you know. But, you know, they pretty much, they try to wait until I get home. They know I get home around the same time every day. So, you know, dinner is prepared and ready. And we all sit down and we eat together, you know, because I think that's important.
Good words.
I believe that is. That's one of the important things, because I think the main problem with separation is at 10:55, we're going to go ahead and start closing this down.
Yes, sir.
So we can get the open mic.
Mm-hmm.
We made it, and I appreciate everything. But I think the main problem with separation anxiety for men in marriages is that sometimes we say, women don't get when we say, I pay the cost to be the boss up in this house.
You shouldn't have to say it. If you have to say it, you're not paying enough.
Yeah.
Then that's the thing. I think some men who say that, and we've all heard it from some one of our friends talking trash, talking about, you know, I wear the big draws in the family, you know. Ain't nothing that happened like that in my house. And they try to brag on it. They're really saying that we have a problem in my house, in your house.
Yeah.
And it's okay we use this call, and we thank y'all for coming on to help other men, because there's a man out there who's suffering right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to save his marriage. Or he doesn't know the next step. That, you know, he's done all he can, but it's time to get separated, and it's time to leave this nonsense. That they're just not getting along. And maybe they'll get along better if they weren't around each other all the time. Instead of going through the bickering and the fight. So with that, you know, being said, I mean, we want to use this call. We want to let you know also we're going to be on the radio. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, what's it called, Rodney?
Yeah, Sirius XM Channel 141. We're going to be on the radio sometime next week. We're taping the episode this week, so.
So, you know, we want to use this venue to help men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have fun on these calls a lot of times. But there's always a message at the end of the day. We almost like Tyler Perry. There's always a message in the movement.
Absolutely.
And so there's a message in our movement and everything that we do. And we thank y'all guys for helping that message, because we do believe that it's getting out there. We do Tony, you know, believe it or not, has a best-selling book because of your message.
Yep.
And please continue. And if you could, still try to bring somebody else on. I know it's hard. I try. Myself. One of the reasons I wanted to do this call was to help another guy who was who is confined in me. But we find out that there's men, we talked about this earlier before a whole lot of people got on the phone, that they get nervous when it's time to, you know, pull their heart out to other men. So we got to still figure out ways how we can get these guys who are hurting and help them out. So with that being said, we appreciate y'all coming. And Rotten is up next week.
I am.
The topic is?
Married to a daddy's girl.
Married to a daddy's girl.
All about me, fellas. All about me.
Mm.
And maybe you too. Maybe you too. I'm going to make it about you too. How about that?
That'll work. That'll work. And it's officially 11 o'clock, fellas. We made it.
That was
and
good.
I'm going to end this call.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end this call, and then we can go into open mic where you can talk about anything that's not recorded, and you can just be yourself. Uh-oh. Give me a second.
Okay.
I'm off again.
While you're logging back in, I just wanted to say that I'm suffering from some separation anxiety when we found out that P-Town was moving or taking a job out of state. I was like, huh? How are we going to do this thing on Tuesday night? You know, and, you know, but you see that we still make it do what it do. Separated or not, you know. It does what it does, and that's all I had to say about it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you know, he understands.